In the battle against cancer, patients and their physicians can really pull out all the stops: surgery, chemotherapy, radiation therapy. If all goes as planned, the patient goes into remission and gets back to his or her life. But what about the physical toll of all these cancer therapies, treatments that are inherently toxic? My next guest is a physician. She's an associate professor at Harvard Medical School, and she's a breast cancer survivor. She's come up with a program of cancer rehabilitation and prehabilitation. Dr. Julie Silver, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
What is cancer rehabilitation, and why is it so important for cancer survivors?
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
What is cancer rehabilitation, and why is it so important for cancer survivors?
Cancer rehabilitation actually isn't new. The idea of rehabilitation in general is very well established. For example, people who have strokes or in car accidents, they would get physical therapy or speech therapy, and sometimes they would see a physiatrist, a doctor like me that specializes in rehabilitation medicine. And for whatever reason, we haven't really established that throughout the cancer care continuum. And the irony is actually that a lot of people, we're so good at screening tests that a lot of people get their cancer picked up on a screening test and they actually feel really good going into cancer treatment and then feel terrible at the end.
I want to know what happened with your cancer experience that led you to realize that this gap existed.
I was in my 30s when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I felt fantastic going into treatment. I had three little kids at home that depended on me. I was a busy doctor. I was a mother, a daughter, a sister, a wife, all of those different roles. And as I went through treatment, I got really, really, really sick. And at the end of my treatment, my last chemotherapy, I said to my oncologist, "What do I do now?" And he said, "Well, try to heal. And someday, if you can, try to go back to work." And I sat there and I thought, wow, I love my oncologist. I thought I had great care, but I thought, this is not okay. I cannot be expected to heal on my own and figure this all out and potentially live with permanent disability for the rest of my life that I don't need to necessarily have.
So you said, all right, you are a rehab, physical medicine and rehabilitation physician. Let's tackle this. What kinds of treatment-related impairments are we talking about?
Well, probably the one that people think of the most is lymphedema. But lymphedema is actually something that is important, but most cancer survivors don't have lymphedema. So we don't want to equate lymphedema as a synonym for cancer rehab in general. There's a lot of impairments that, and I love it that you use the word impairments because we really do want to focus on impairments that cancer survivors may have. They may have an amputation. They may have surgery that cuts muscles and skin and, can be tendons, ligaments, all kinds of tissues that need to heal and would typically get rehab if they had back surgery or whatever it is. But in cancer, you know, we might do major surgeries, repositioning muscles, for example, in breast reconstructions and all kinds of things like that, where these patients have pretty significant impairments. They might have neuropathy from chemotherapy. They could have a frozen shoulder. They might not be able to turn their neck very well, and that would impair driving. That's particularly common in head and neck cancer survivors.
Also, there's chemobrain. We've heard that. Is this part of that as well?
Chemobrain is part of that, and that is what we technically call mild cognitive impairment. So mild cognitive impairment is very similar to what you would expect from a concussion. Most people think of concussions in sports. They know that when somebody has a concussion as a sports injury, that their thinking isn't real clear, that they might have some problems with memory and concentration and attention. And even though the injury is different, so that, you know, football player gets a concussion, which is different than chemotherapy giving mild cognitive impairment, the result is pretty similar in that they have these cognitive issues that keep them from functioning at a level that they need to function at.
And you've come up not only with the idea of cancer rehab, but also, and I found this term fascinating, cancer prehab. What is that?
Cancer prehabilitation is really derived from the scientific literature that we've done in orthopedics and other types of conditions for many years, where we try to prepare people for an upcoming stressor. So if we know that they're going to have surgery, for example, we'll get them ready for it. And in cancer, what we try to do is use that window of time, and that's a hallmark of prehab, which is you use whatever window of time there is before your treatment starts to get physically and emotionally as ready as possible.
And then you build in the multidisciplinary approach. So this is not just between the patient and their oncologist.
That's right. It's a multidisciplinary approach. And in STAR programs, which STAR programs are a certification for hospitals and cancer centers, which a number of hospitals in Michigan have adopted. So in STAR programs, there's really five components to prehab. And one of those is going to be general exercise to just get somebody ready with, in terms of their strength and endurance and so on. Another one would be targeted exercise. For example, in lung cancers, it would be the respiratory muscles. In prostate cancer survivors, it would be the pelvic floor muscles for urinary incontinence. For head and neck cancer survivors, it would be swallowing exercises. And then we would add a nutritional component. We would add a psychosocial component, trying to get them ready in terms of developing a coping skill that's very specific, like meditation or guided imagery, something to decrease their distress as they're going through surgery. And then if they smoke, we would do a smoking cessation, you know, quitting smoking protocol that basically is designed to help them get through their surgery better, because we know that smokers tend to have more problems with surgery, pneumonia, difficulty weaning off the ventilator, wound infections, and so on.
The big question many people are going to, who are listening to us talking about, are going to wonder about, are these services covered by health insurance?
In general, these services are covered by health insurance. Of course, people do have copays.
Sure.
And if you don't have insurance, that's always a problem. But in general, these services are covered by health insurance, similar to what would happen if you were injured in a car accident or you had a stroke. Your insurance would typically cover your rehab.
Now, you've said the cancer prehab actually can increase treatment options. How is that?
That's really interesting. I was just talking to a patient who had that happen. And what had happened to her, she was 75 years old, and she was diagnosed with lung cancer. And it was an early-stage lung cancer, and she was supposed to have surgery. But she had just had back surgery about 5 months earlier, and she was still trying to recover from back surgery. And she was very deconditioned. Her endurance was low. And her oncologist, her thoracic surgeon, actually said to her, you know, I really feel as though if I operate on you, you're going to end up in a nursing home and you may never return home. And she said, that's all I needed to hear. As soon as he said I would end up in a nursing home, I said to myself, I'm going to do whatever he recommends. So he sent her to a STAR program, and she worked on really building up her strength and stamina, and he wanted her to do this for about a month prior to surgery. And she did that, and she went through surgery and did really, really well. And he came into her room, and this is what she was telling me. He came into her room right after surgery, and he said, you know, you're a superstar. And she said, he was so proud of me. I was really happy for her and for her team and her STAR program. And she said, I didn't end up in a nursing home. In fact, I was supposed to be in the hospital for 5 days, and he discharged me after 2 days. And I went home, and I did great, and I had some more rehab, and I feel better now after cancer treatment than I did before.
It just seems that you can't begin to describe the improvement in the post-treatment life of these patients that have had not just the STAR prehab, but then the post-treatment rehab.
That's exactly right. I mean, surgery really probably wouldn't have been an option for her. Mm-hmm. The surgeon was very worried about operating on her, so it opened up a treatment option. And not only did it open up a treatment option, but imagine that someone is diagnosed with cancer, and at the end of it, they actually feel physically better than they did before it. That's a real paradigm shift in how we think about cancer.
Have you been able to do studies? Have you been doing this long enough in order to do studies that can prove, you know, scientifically, that this is really making a difference?
There are studies that are coming out. One recently came out of Montreal that looked at colorectal cancer survivors, and they used a three-prong approach where they did the counseling and the psychosocial piece, where they did an intervention to try to decrease stress. And they did the nutritional intervention, and then they did the general exercise intervention. And they found that their patients did much better with the prehab and the rehab combined than just the rehab after. And that really is one of a number of studies that have come out, but this one was very recent, where people said, wow, getting started early really does make a difference. And you really do need both very often, because these are big surgeries, and then it's followed by chemotherapy or radiation. It's a lot for someone to go through, whether you're in your 30s like I was, or whether you're in your 70s like the patient I was just talking about.
How do survivors and their docs find out more about the STAR program prehab and also the rehab?
They can go on the website, oncologyrehabpartners.com, or you can simply Google STAR program in cancer and find the website. There's about 9 programs right now in Michigan, and these programs are in lots of different cities. And it's really exciting to see Michigan getting so involved. These programs are growing, so some of these have just started. Some of them are expanding their services and so on. But over the next few months and over the next few years, you're going to see Michigan really doing a great job leading the STAR program.
Dr. Julie Silver, it was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.